Welcome to New England Art Scene Podcast. Each episode will spotlight an artist from all walks of life. Actors, directors, recording artists, singers, songwriters, painters, sculptors, comic book illustrators, poets, and the list goes on. If you like the show, please pass the word on to a friend. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Well, guys, thanks for having us here from New England Art Scene. What was unbelievable, you know, we didn't know what to expect. You know, we obviously read the awesome stuff on the website and everything like that, but coming and hearing it in person, just, you know, nothing you could read online or anything like that can describe it.
No, you can't. I wanted to join in myself. It was fun. That inspirational rally was great.
Yeah, I mean, there was something for everyone. There was some fun stuff. There was some chops in there. Times when you felt like, you know, you may be improvising, you may not. It was so done so well. You know, you really could tell. Even, you know, obviously you'd be having some fun. You know, say my name. But I don't know. It was just the line between improv and planned was just not obvious to anybody listening. That's how well done it was. But why don't we go around and have everybody introduce themselves and what they do. And I'll start on my left.
What we do in the band.
Yes.
Or outside the band. I'm Leah Davis. I play piano and accordion. I also played melodica and kazoo tonight. I did a little bit of singing. Occasionally I play the organ with the group. And when there's a drum set, I play the drums badly.
I don't play that.
Wait. How do I live up to that? I'm Paul Rodriguez, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Andrea Loretz Fry, and I'm founder and singer in the troupe. And occasionally, I will play some percussion with the troupe members that bring their stuff with them.
I'm Okumbo Asauti, and I try not to let Andrea play any of my stuff. I'm a percussionist, and sometimes sit in. All right, she's crying now. I sometimes play the piano, and sometimes when Tony goads me, I sing.
I've seen it ungoaded. I'm Joel Cohen, and I play the cello, and I look very serious so they don't make me sing.
I'm Tony Pinheiro, and I'm co-founded the Improvelocity with Andrea. I sing. I do vocalizing things that aren't singing, and I play different little hand percussion instruments.
That latent talent we haven't heard before. Look at that. He's suppressing all that talent. We're coming up now.
I like a smoothie.
Smoothie. What flavor, Sean?
Thank you.
Andrea, you said you were the founder. How did you gather this crew together?
It was a friend of ours. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Tony and I were introduced by a mutual friend, and she and I had actually wanted to start a troupe individually before we had even met each other. We got together at this friend's place, and I don't know, it was like something like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night or something, and we started singing together, and we have very, very different voice types and come from very, very different backgrounds. So we were a little leery at first about how that would work, but the indigenous sort of texture that she has with her voice and me being classically trained actually worked very, very well. And then from there, we met other colleagues and we met other friends through other troupes and things like that and just started jamming with people and just loved the thrill of being in the moment with stuff. So that's essentially how we started. That's the Reader's Digest version.
How did everybody else get involved in the troupe?
Yes, I had been recruited, I believe, by Tony. We're also in a improv theater group together. And I think she either, well, she knew that I was doing a percussion because we do music within the theater group. So she asked me to check the group out, and I loved it from the get-go. It was a really great process.
I came here. Well, the first contact was Tony found me as a cello teacher, and she wanted to learn cello to play in this group that she vaguely described, and she finally decided it was easier to get me to play. And I ended up here.
At some point, Andrea put a post on Craigslist for looking for pianists, and I answered, and she came over. We just played duet, and then the next time it was trio with our sax player, and gradually I got introduced to the whole group.
Well, this is thanks to you, Mike. I met Andrea through your meetup group, the composers, film composers group. And so, of course, Andrea and I got to talking because we're both performers, and I said I play guitar, and she said, come on, we'll see what happens. And it was great. It was great to join in and be this free, you know, with my instruments. So that's how I got together.
Great. So how does a song come together? Does someone bring up, I have a song I heard we want to kind of do our own thing on, or is it originals? Pick a song and somebody jump in and tell us how that comes in.
When we rehearse, we have in the past tried to come up with either word phrases or ideas. Sometimes we do a check-in about the day that we had or the week that we had, like I did when I first came in tonight. Someone might have a musical phrase that they do. We have, in some rehearsals, we work with different structures to see how that works, but we never ever use them when we're performing. And so I don't know how that works. I mean, you start, then you start, then you start, then we'll all come in, and then we'll stop, and we'll start. But it never, we just really use our intuition. We listen really, really deeply. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that we do in this group is listening skills to each other. There's no egos in the group because it won't work in this doing improvisation like we do it. And we really listen to each other. And we're also really good at what we, our individual instruments.
I was actually watching that, and I was watching you guys watching each other and trying to get the cues and moving in and meshing together. And I was wondering how long it took for that mesh to come about when you first started. There must have been some little bumps in a row somewhere. And how long did it take for that to gel?
There were no bumps. We're perfect. so... That's it. No.
There you go.
No,
that's a good definition.
Actually, I remember when I first started playing with the group that it seemed pretty seamless. That we all had a sense for music. We all had a sense for the musicality of the group in particular, and getting to know where, you know, what people were doing was just something that happens right in the moment anyway. So I didn't perceive any real bumps in the road, actually. But, you know, of course, yeah, there's always a missed ending or something like that in practice. Again, we're perfect, so we don't mess up in you know, concert. But there's never any mistakes.
But there you go. It's improvised. Improvised means no mistakes. All right. So, but truly, I really felt from the very beginning that there was this really organic relationship that we had created because we had really said yes to the improv commitment that you make with each other, and which Tony was saying was that listening. And so we gave up on, you know, the kind of grandstanding that might, you know, take you away from each other. So we work very hard on being in tune with each other, if you will.
Right. Now, I did notice that when you were all playing, nobody stepped on anybody else. I think that's what you're saying, one of the things that you're saying. Right. Now, how do you know, you know, when to let Paul go or when, you know, or Joel or anybody? How do you?
His idea is better than mine. Yeah. There we go. He who plays loudest is right.
It's also a thing about feeling. I mean, we're feeling each other. It's like we have these like invisible antenna, and it's like because we're listening so deeply, like all of a sudden we hear him do something, so we just let him do it. Well, Leah is playing along, and all of a sudden you hear her get a little bit louder, so now we know she's going to solo or whatever. But it's very organic what we do.
The harmony changes if we stay on a pattern for a while, and then, you know, someone or something loses energy or changes energy, and then the harmony changes, and then we go with that.
I noticed that. You guys seem to know not only when to play, but when to be quiet, and when, you know, and that was a fascinating aspect of it.
No is an interesting thought. It just, it is. There we are. You know, nothing's wrong. No one's wrong. No one plays at the wrong time. It's listening to each other. It's sort of, it. In some ways it's like jazz, in some ways it's the opposite. In that in jazz, there is an agreed-on form, the tune, and you sort of see how far away you can get from it and still be in the tune.
then I've become very proud. For now the student comes at night. Not only has he lost all his fears,
I like when the piece comes off as a unified whole, and I like when we strike the balance of foreground and background, and that shifts in a meaningful way. You know, when we, like, I can say what's difficult sometimes is if we stay too much in a vamp, or, you know, I know the group's pitfalls, and I bring them up and try to kind of suggest ways we can work in different ways. I like when the piece comes together as a whole, and it seems to have an inherent structure, and that we're just building that right in the moment is really satisfying.
And I think with the troupe too, that we've worked with each other enough in our sessions, and our rehearsal sessions, again, like Tony had said, are very much about listening. So we're very used to feeling where something in some place of the piece needs a certain texture or needs a certain shift in some capacity. And then there's other times when we're really in that, in a vortex of the same, but we can feel that it needs something different. And it's very risky. I mean, you know, doing improvisation is very risky. Because you don't have something in front of you. You don't have, you know, a dictation of where you're going to start and where you're going to go with something. So the trust factor is very much important in a troupe like this, where you need that time, you need those sessions and working together to build that trust, to build those listening skills. And then by the same token, to be able to give each other the opportunity to solo as well. And there are times when maybe two of us will start, and then, I don't know, maybe we choose something, you know, musically or texturally to add to that, to be able to sort of go with that flow if it's seeming like, you know, there's two of us that are starting a bit of a solo, because we've had that. I mean, it's very raw and it's very real that improvisation is very risky at times. But when we pay attention to that and we are sort of in tune with that, we've done some really incredible things and some really magical things where we even look at each other during a performance and going, oh my God, that was amazing. Oh, wow. You know, so, I mean, there are times when, you know, we're not totally satisfied, let's say, with a particular piece.
But we make no mistakes.
In improvisation, it's all good.
Well, the risk seems to pay off. That's what I've seen.
But
where do you see the group going in the future? How far are you going to take this?
You know, it's a big unknown. But I think, you know, what we do musically is a big unknown, and so we're open. I think the word would be open. You know, we just hope to season ourselves as musicians and prepare ourselves as best we can with each other to continue to create the space for what we do. And whatever opportunities come, we'll take it one step at a time, essentially.
What kind of response have you had from others in the music community?
Well, I mean, myself in sort of, you know, looking at other musicians that I would love to work with, my initial response from a lot of musicians was, hell no way, you know. There's no way that some of the people I've approached is their response. That, you know, there's no way I would do improvisation, which I think initially shocked me because I thought, you got to be kidding me. This is the most freeing thing in the world. Nobody's telling you what you have to do. There is no conductor, you know. It's one of the most practical things. You're not having to spend hours practicing. But Joel has some thoughts on that.
It's hard to describe to people what the experience is. When I say I'm going to make up a whole concert, they say, thanks, I'm going to watch TV. You know, that's not appealing. But when you come and hear it, you realize that I think it's like a new kind of music. I think it's like, it's a little bit of what, in my feeling, classical has gone away from, and it's become too much of a doing it right or showing how it goes instead of being the music.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's very satisfying. I love playing classical. There's great stuff, but I think I play that better now that I know what creating music is instead of recreating music.
And I don't think that improvisation... I know that improvisation is not a substitute for the structure that musicians study. It really can't be. But when you have that structure, I mean, it serves its purpose first and foremost. And when you have that structure, improvisation is an expansion of that.
As far as what we want to do, we want to record a lot. But we realize that even what we have recorded already, it's not the same as when we're live. So recording is good. Performing in lots of places where people can hear and experience what we do. We haven't really performed at like a venue with 500 or 600 people. And the more intimate it is, the more we can work with the audience, because part of doing this is interacting with the audience.
That doesn't mean we won't play the Worcester Centrum.
We will play the Worcester Centrum. We will play the London Palladium. We will play any big stage that anyone wants us to be on.
That would be nice.
And we're waiting for the invitations, and we do have a website so with phone numbers. So, you know, bring it on. Oh, www.improvelocity.com or improvelocity@comcast.net.
So we do have a show coming Friday, which by this time would be past. But
so any time travelers could still make it.
If you're on our wavelength, you'll be there.
But what's going to be the difference between the rehearsal we heard tonight and even Friday? Like, what's going to change?
Well, there's everything, and there's madness. There's just madness. Just one example is at the last time we played the F. Scott Gallery, somebody said something about keep your shoes on or something like that, and I said, other people said, no, it's hot outside, let's take our shoes off. And so there ended up being a pile of like 30 to 50 shoes in front of the stage. You know, everybody's throwing their shoes up, you know, near the stage. And it was a madhouse, you know. There was a mosh pit and everything.
Nobody got hurt, though.
No one was hurt. We make no mistakes.
It's a performance with everybody. The audience is a part of the performance. And because the audience is there, it's different. It's not that we're always interacting with them on a verbal level or musical level, but they're there, and sometimes they give us ideas, they respond to us, and it's the audience is a part of the performance.
And we've clearly played audiences that have had, you know, children from 9 to 90, you know, years old. Okay, 5 or 3 or 2, but you know, it there's a whole gamut of people who have come to hear us and enjoyed what we've done, and they paid with us. They paid us.
We did a series where we invited artists to come, and they were drawing in while we were singing, and so the music was inspiring the drawing. And
we had
dancers
too,
and,
yeah.
And so they danced to everything that we did. We had movers and shakers, we called it. Like people, not professional dancers. I mean, there might have been professional dancers there, but just like
people that like to move.
And poets.
People came and they read a poem, and then we would made music out of their poem. And so there's lots of ways that we can interact with the audience. So it's always new, and you never know what you're going to get. So come to every show.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
If you don't like a show, the next one is going to be totally different. So come on down again and see what you find.
Is it, what's like final words? Was it one last thing that anybody wants to add is to come to see a show?
You say, you heard it. What would you say?
The chops were, to me, were the most surprising and amazing thing, you know, as we're musicians too. And it's just in awe, you know, of everyone. It was great. Like, and you didn't play one instrument. You'd like drop off and, you know, a combo go in his bag and grab a whole other thing and just pull out, you know, grab the kazoo. Or, you know, you just never knew. The duck call. And I had a feeling that people were bringing instruments into the rehearsal that are like, oh, you brought that today? You know, I thought that was really cool.
I just never know what's coming next. You know, that's what I love about it, because I don't like my music predictable. And never knowing what's coming next and still having that feeling that you'll listen to something that's moving you and it's just feels good.
Yeah, and kudos for coming up with, you know, it sounds like a well put together song, even though it was improv. So by the time you get to the end of the song, I mean, even the audience, I think the interaction is we feel like, wow, we're satisfied with what we just heard as a complete work, even though maybe it has never been played before. So, you know, kudos for that. That was awesome. Yeah, well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
bad enough picking up on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs...
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not, darling. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right. I am a coward. I've been training for it at all. I even scare myself. Look at the circles under my eye. I haven't slept in a week.
Why don't you try counting sheep? Okay? And like I'm going to say again, why don't you try counting sheep, all right? God.
Oh, that's too bad. Do you think the wizard can help him too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us?
If I only had some nerve.
I'd be gentle as a lizard.
I'd be clever as a gizzard, but I only had these three lines. What the hell's going on? I don't get it. What the hell? I'm the freaking scarecrow. Oh, here's the mic.
If the wizard is a wizard, who will serve?
And I'm sure to get a brain, and maybe more lines.
A heart.
A home.
The goddamn nerve.
Oh, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a whiz of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever, ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Is that the Wizard of Oz?
That's it. We are now out. Thank you for coming.
And now we're stranded with no way to get away.
got it. I didn't hear.
You gonna hang out, or we're just driving down?
Okay, cool. All right.